This is Let's Hear It, and today we're going to hear about the new season of Western Michigan University Theater. WMUtheater.com is where you'll find all the productions listed, but I'm really thrilled to have the department chair, Joan Harrington, here to introduce us all to the season. Thank you so much for coming, Joan.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. I need to make a quick adjustment to your microphone, which is all on the right side, so one moment. There we go. Well, that will come out in the editing room, except we are live.
Well, I appreciate the balancing.
That sounds much better. Joan, the season passes are already available.
Yes, our first show opens next week.
I see there are 8 productions. What are some of the ideas that you introduced this year because of some of the uncertainty we're dealing with?
Well, in terms of putting the season together, we just really wanted a season that reflected more accurately where our world is. We've had a lot of really important conversations, conversations that we should have been having earlier about who's at the table, who's represented in the shows that we're doing, how are they represented, and have we been neglectful in the past about attending these questions with as much energy as we really should have and vigilance as we should have. That was a focus for us this season. Obviously, the other focus for us this season was the fact that we're producing theater in the time of COVID. We had hoped perhaps to be in a better place this fall, but anticipating that that might not be the case, we did plan to do our first 2 shows outside.
Yes.
Continuing what we started last year, which was a really actually joyous experience for us and we think for our audiences of the opportunity to come together outside on Western's campus and see theater.
First 2 productions will be in a sort of hidden theater. It's got a really special feel to it.
Yes, outside. It is a courtyard built as an amphitheater originally, directly behind our building. So it's directly behind the York Theater. And it was built as an amphitheater and over time, because it was not used, overtaken by Mother Nature. So we have respectfully reclaimed it in the last couple of months so that we are able to produce there really just right on the backside of our own theatrical spaces. So it's lovely. It's a really lovely space.
It's intimate and it has its own, you know, built-in half circle to it and even some seating options.
That's
there.
That's correct.
You know, who used amphitheaters from the get-go would have been the Greeks.
Correct. Yes. And they, you know, it was a natural hill formation, which is actually what we have as well. They built into a natural environment. So that was the way the York Courtyard was originally created as well. And
is that where most, you know, the idea of theater and what to do in theater kind of originates from? Are the Greeks credited for sort of making theater a thing?
I think that would be a Western tradition. So yes, if you look at the Western Eurocentric tradition, it's seated there.
Uh-huh.
But there was theater all over the world that predates the Greek theater and has led to wonderful theater traditions all over the world, including in the United States. But we white Western theater sort of draws its roots back to Greece.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it makes me think, you know, the Japanese shadow plays and just the traditions. The more you know, the more you can
employ. Across the continent of Africa and across the continent and across Southeast Asia and across the Middle East, there are
exciting
rich theatrical traditions.
Yeah, which now is open to interpretation, to creating even more amazing theatrical showcases, productions, and everything like that.
Yes, because I think we're also acknowledging that in our pedagogy and how we've trained theater artists, perhaps we have allowed the dominant culture more space than it needs to have if we're really trying to train artists who can be inclusive and respectful and broaden their artistic pursuit, make it richer.
Well, I mean, there was a wake-up call. You had a chance to ignore it or to take up some of the ideas and bring the power and structure of a theater department together to make some changes. And I think this season will show us exactly the lines along which you're thinking. you were saying off air that, in fact, discussing the season was open to almost everyone now.
Yes, we really expanded our season selection process we invited a number of alumni to participate. We made more space for our students to have voice in terms of suggesting shows, commenting on it. Even before we began season selection, having an opportunity to speak about what their priorities were, what our guiding principles should be. In fact, I was saying to you, we're having another town hall with our students today as we begin actually thinking about the 22-23 season, which we will try to set in the next 3 months. And again, just re-energizing, re-identifying what our priorities need to be.
You're hearing from Joan Harrington, the department chair of Western Michigan University's theater department. WMUtheater.com is where you'll see a list of the 8 productions this season. The first one begins September 16th, which is that next week?
It is, a week from yesterday.
Okay. Wow. Coming up on us right away. This one is one that you're really excited about and invested in.
I am very excited about this show. Yes, when we were discussing season selection, someone suggested Lysistrata, which...
Ancient
Greek play and considered to be relatively progressive for its time in that the story of Lysistrata is women lock themselves in the Acropolis, and it's women from all of the different city-states across Greece whose husbands have been warring forever to say, well, you know what? We're not going to have sex with you until you stop making war. And they're successful. So we thought, oh, this is an interesting play, feminist, powerful women. And then you go back in and you read it. And it is threaded all the way through with lots and lots of misogyny and deeply invested in traditional binary relationships. And we thought, there's something about this play that we like, but there's a lot about this play that we find problematic. So we commissioned an adaptation by a fabulous New York playwright, Sam Mueller, who set their play in 2030. And the concern is not so much that the world is making war, but that the world is destroying the planet. Climate change being the concern. And only 9 years away, we have progressed to a point of tremendous crisis. And our idea that metal straws and canvas totes are going to have impact, it's just time for that idea to go away.
It's not sufficient.
And so Lysistrata decides that we need to really deconstruct the world as we know it and begin a new one. And at the core of that also for them is a sex strike, same way from the original play. But also with the idea that if we're going to rebuild a world, we really need to re-examine sex, its place in our culture, its place in a capitalistic society where it is largely exploitive, how it's exploited has undermined our ability to have honest, truthful, valuable relationships. So vested in the sex strike is the idea that we really need to look at how we relate to one another. If we're going to start again, we need to start from a different place. And there's an array of relationships, not only binary relationships in this play, because the world is no longer invested exclusively in binary relationships.
That sounds like a play of the future, certainly.
It is, and it's been a really exciting process for our students to work on a brand new play. Usually you get cast and they give you the script and you have all of this time to get to know your script and develop your characters. 2 weeks before rehearsal started, they got a draft of the script and then spent the first 2 or 3 weeks rehearsing a play that was constantly changing, which was very exciting, very empowering for the actors who got to participate in the process, got to speak to what was being rewritten, got to offer input about how things were working for their character. Sam came to visit, and they worked with the actors. So it's been a really exciting process and a really great opportunity for our actors who will have an opportunity again during their lifetime to work in new play development. So it was a nice new skill set.
I'm actually most excited about the depiction of non-binary relationships. I mean, to normalize just make it everyday kind of. I don't know if the play focuses on that or just takes it as a given.
It takes it as a given. It is a given in our world. And so it's not a play about that. It's just a play that acknowledges that not every relationship is between cisgender people. And that's just that's just what we see when we look out the window.
Is it a drama? I mean, climate change is...
It is a... There is a lot of very funny stuff in it.
Okay.
The integration of characters for whom this is still a stunning idea that the world is going to end or that metal straws are not going to solve the problem creates a significant amount of humor. So at the core are serious issues, but it is a lovely, enjoyable play with a lot of laughs and a lot of really, really terrific characters. So I think it a little bit more than gently just reminds us that we are perhaps neglecting our obligation to ensure our own future.
It's called Liszt by Sam Mueller, and it opens the season of Western Michigan University Theater at next Thursday, September 16th, and it will run through the 26th, and you can find all details at wmutheater.com. And the phone number, actually, is 387-6222.
Correct.
Yes, so talk to someone in person if you like to figure out the package you'd like, or I think individual tickets may be on sale now.
Yes, individual tickets are on sale now, or if you're interested in other shows, you can buy a Flex Pass, which gives you a certain number of tickets, which is not specifically designated for certain shows. You can say, oh, I want to have two for this one, but I want to have three for that one. So you can decide how you want to use it.
It's not every day you get to premiere a commissioned play.
Yes.
This is really significant. I mean, has it been a while since that happened?
Yes, it's been a while for us. We have devised some theater where we've created it in the room from scratch with writers or with directors. But this is the first play that we have commissioned in a while. And Sam is awesome and amazing and has been just a really terrific partner for us and for the students and for director Kate Thompson. So it's been joyous.
Western Theater premieres the play, Liszt. What happens then?
After that, we go into the woods and with a lovely outside show. We thought that would be great to do outside.
Yeah.
So that's Sondheim, and it is his fairy tale play in which perhaps Happily Ever After is not as viable as we assume.
True.
So it's a play that has lovely, fun integration of Cinderella and Jack and the Beanstalk and lots of other fairy tales. And then perhaps look at what happens if Cinderella and the prince should not be together forever, or if Rapunzel being rescued was maybe not working out the way she thought. Or so it's a great, brilliant piece of work that transitions out of hopes and dreams and how you calibrate those with real life challenges.
What you wish for.
What you wish for may not be what you want. What you wish for may not be actually available in the form that you wanted it.
And if you get what you wish, it just might.
Be careful what you wish for. But the music is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And that's directed by Anthony Hamilton, who is actually from Kalamazoo, an alum of our program, has his MFA, has really begun a successful career as a director, and we're really thrilled to have him back with us.
He helmed an award-winning musical in the last few seasons.
Once Up on This Island,
yes,
which he did at the Kalamazoo. That was fabulous, fabulous work.
Wonderful to have him back in our midst.
It is. I'm not sure how long he'll stay before New York will re-steal him, but we're happy he's visiting for a while.
Into the Woods begins September 24th. Music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim and a book by James Lapine. I just heard a Fresh Air episode where James Lapine was talking about his new book, which discusses writing with Stephen Sondheim. So you could always check out the book and then enjoy the musical, which is kind of a great first Sondheim piece if you've just always heard about Stephen Sondheim but haven't been to any of the shows. This is a really good first Sondheim piece. And I know a little something about the production. There will be, of course, a cast and a live orchestra with it. And full disclosure, I will be part of the little band.
Yes, we're very excited.
Side of the stage.
We're very excited about music direction by Cindy Hunter and
bringing
the music
it all.
The music is glorious.
Bringing it all back together. Yeah, they are really hand in hand. The complication of the piece is some of his writing is extremely fast and over-layered. I thought we could take a short break and listen to a highlight of Into the Woods. This is called Your Fault. they've all gotten themselves into a jam with a giant coming for them, and they decide to point the finger at each other, right? And finally, the witch, who was, I think, played by Bernadette Peters in the original.
Yes.
She comes along and just tells them exactly what she thinks of them. Let's hear it.
It's because of you there's a giant in our midst and my wife is dead. But it isn't my fault I was given those beans. You persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans. And without those beans, there'd have been no stalk to get up to the giants in the first place. Wait a minute, magic beans for a cow so old that you had to tell a lie to sell it, which you told. Were they worthless beans? Were they oversold? Oh, and tell us who persuaded you to steal that gold.
See, it's your fault.
No. So it's your fault.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It's true.
Wait a minute, but I only stole the gold to get my cow back from you.
So it's your fault.
Yes. No, it isn't. I'd have kept those beans, but our house was cursed. She made us get a cow to get the curse reversed.
It's your father's fault that the curse got placed and the place got cursed in the first place.
Oh, then it's his fault.
It was his fault.
No, yes, it is. It's his.
I guess.
Wait a minute, though. I chopped down the beanstalk right there.
Last midnight, I'm leaving you my last curse.
I'm leaving you alone. You can tend the garden, it's yours, separate and alone. Everybody down on all fours. All right, mother, when lost the beans again, punish me the way you did then. Give me claws and a hunt, just away from this bunch. And the gloom, and the doom, and the boom.
The Last Midnight from Into the Woods. If you've just joined us, my guest is Joan Harrington. She is the chair of the Department of Theater at Western Michigan University, and we're going over the newly announced season. It opens with Liss on September 16 and continues with Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine, starting September 24th and running through October 10th. As you mentioned, Joan, both productions are set outdoors in the amphitheater that is sort of nestled between part of Shaw and part of Miller.
Correct, yes.
Back there. What a terrific highlight from Into the Woods. Although I think the other choice would be the song No One Is Alone, which after a bunch of silly characters doing their silly things, it becomes so serious and gets so complex about how people relate.
Yes, they're just layers and layers all with this beautiful music surrounding.
Really looking forward to that. But we have to get through some other highlights of the season. So would you continue?
Sure. So then we move inside where we will have social distancing and mask requirements and safety first to make sure that our audience is good and solid in the space as we move on to Sweat, Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Lynn Nottage that was actually slated for last year, and we had to not do it last year. So we're very excited. It's just a spectacular play.
You hung on to it.
We hung on to it and said, we'll do it. We will do this one. And it's just a spectacular play about and incredibly relevant, I think, here in Michigan about how factory layoffs and economic challenges can really eat away at what might have been really solid friendships and support systems, and really the pain and challenge of economic hardship. So I think it may even have more resonance now than it would have had last year for us with where COVID has left us. So that's a great, great piece directed by Mark Learman. But something more upbeat following that, Significant Other by Josh Harmon, which is just a lovely play about relationships. And you have all these good friends and then one of them finds a partner. And where does that leave you? And we've all been there, right? We've all had our best friend find a new love and negotiate that territory, or two of our best friends find a new love and negotiate that territory.
And one of you in the group is always like, why does everything have to change? Why can't everything just stay the
same?
That's right.
So just it's a great piece, a lovely piece, just because it's about you finding your way in that and remembering why you're friends and that you can still be friends and valuing that and putting energy into that. And that's fun. That's a really fun play directed by Jay Burko.
Just want to pass along, that is the November production.
That is the November production, right? Opening November 13th and concluding just before Thanksgiving.
You know, we are talking all about living artists and playwrights right now. These are contemporaries of us.
Yes, we have only living playwrights.
Amazing.
Yes, sort of part of our intention is also to sort of just not return to that traditional canon of, you know, dead white men, and really be engaging with what people are writing now. So lots of new plays, lots of relatively new plays. We conclude the fall with Next Stop Broadway, which is always a terrific opportunity for our senior music theater majors to present the work, a cabaret that will go on to be the showcase that they do for agents and producers and casting directors in New York.
I seem to remember you did manage to pull off a version of this last year.
Last year we did a virtual version.
Yes.
We did a virtual version. But this year we'll be live with Darius DeHaas, who is a Broadway star who will be coming. And the way that evening works is our students are Act 1 and our guest artist is Act 2, and Darius is spectacular and just a real gift to have for the students. So we're very excited for that. And that concludes the fall. But we do have some things for spring. In January, we'll produce a play called The Exonerated, which is verbatim theater in that it is exclusively drawn from the verbatim stories of the characters in the play. So real life people who were accused, convicted of crimes, put on death row, but they were crimes that none of them committed. And through Innocence Project or just the sweat of their families or friends, it looks at their exoneration. So it's really an examination of how that happens and what some people would call the injustice system and how people end up on death row for crimes they pretty clearly did not do.
Mm-hmm. Would that be hard for a young artist, young actor to take on? I mean, it sounds heavy.
It is heavy. And the characters, in fact, we had a first design meeting and one of the designers said, oh, Exonerated. I was thinking that it would have a happy ending. But full disclosure, if you've been in prison for 15 years on death row, yes, you're exonerated, but it's not like, wow, it's life is great and, you know, everything is wonderful.
It doesn't guarantee a lifetime of happiness.
It does not guarantee a lifetime of happiness. So, yes, heavy roles for the actors. And it's not going to be, you know, significant other for the audience. But it is important that we look at this. We have certainly seen that our criminal justice system, again, highlighted for us in the last year, is not colorblind. And is not sexual preference blind. And for many reasons, people end up on death row, executed for crimes they very clearly did not commit. We have a very active Innocence Project here in Michigan. And we have people in our community who have been exonerated. And we hope to be able to involve them in some conversations with the audience as we do this piece.
And as you mentioned at the beginning, every word of this play was spoken by an exonerated, incarcerated person.
So it is in their words. It's incredibly powerful piece, and important, and yes, difficult for us to do. But
you've never not done difficult.
No, we don't shy away from difficult things, both because we feel that it is our obligation to the community. We feel that we have that all art has somewhere in it a social justice component, and we need to acknowledge that and participate in that. And it's good training for our students.
It sure is, under the guidance of, you know, a supportive faculty and staff that can.
Correct. You know. And we do also have a new thing this year. We're working with two cultural competency consultants to ensure that the work that we're doing is inclusive, and we're having the conversations that we need to be having, and that we have rehearsal rooms in which people can speak about things that they need to speak about, and our audiences can speak about things that they need to speak about. So really ensuring that that's part of our process as well.
Tickets for the season are available at WMUtheater.com or by calling 387-6222, area code 269. the January production is, well, it starts January 28th through February 6th, The Exonerated by Eric Jensen and Jessica Blank. March brings Emilia by a playwright named Morgan Lloyd Malcolm.
Yes, Morgan Lloyd Malcolm is a female playwright who we've all heard recently over the last 10, 20 years that perhaps we don't think Shakespeare wrote all of those plays. Some people think Shakespeare didn't write any of those plays.
Oh, yeah. That's been going around
a while. That's been going around for a little while, kind of fun. And there's scholars whose exclusive field of scholarship is this topic. And the theory is maybe Lord Byron, you know, a number of other men in Shakespeare's world have perhaps been credited with the work. And this play posits that perhaps it was a woman who wrote the plays. So this is an all-female, 16-person cast with music and movement. Women play all of the parts, including Shakespeare. So it's a really fun romp sort of through an extended period in history, just looking at a really fun what-if.
It makes a lot of sense because, you know, society would say, of course, a woman couldn't write.
Of course, well, of course, and certainly in that time, they couldn't even be on stage. So it sort of flips that on its head. And that's a really fun piece. And then we're going to close with just an upbeat, super fun, all inclusive, everybody come, Head Over Heels, the musical, which is based in the music of the Go-Go's, was a very successful Broadway production, has also kind of been on our list waiting till we could do choreography again. And we just felt we really wanted to end the season with something that was just positive and fun and just everybody's
and
welcome and new. And so that'll just be a really, really terrific season closure for us.
This is going to be a really popular local theater play, I would think, just in the years to come. And it sounds like you're one of the first to bring Head Over Heels.
Head Over Heels. Right.
Music by the Go-Go's. Oh, that just strikes me right at the exact time I was listening to pop music.
Well, it'll bring you right back.
Wonderful. And when does casting begin for such things?
In October, we will cast. Well, in October, we'll cast our own spring shows. So we cast half a season by half season. So last spring, we cast all of the fall shows. In October, we'll cast all of the spring shows. So the actors have some time because the Exonerated begins rehearsing at the beginning of November.
You know, I talk to a lot of theater directors around here, and a lot of them are using Western students. Is that okay with you?
Oh, that's great for us. We work at Farmer's Alley, and we work at the Barn, and we work at the Civic.
But, I mean, what if
they... We work at Queer Theater Kalamazoo. If you saw the productions at Face Off Theater did this summer, our actors were all over it. It's great. We are very grateful that we have such an active and thriving theater scene in Kalamazoo and run by our friends and colleagues and admired artists. And when our students have the opportunity to be in those spaces and work with those artists, that really just enriches their experience while they're in school. So we're always excited when they have those opportunities.
But do you have to have the conversation, here's how to balance, you know, your schoolwork with an outside production?
Well, we do. That's true when they work for us as well. We allow our students to really only act in one production per semester since they're maybe carrying a 16 or 18-hour credit load at the same time. So we say, okay, this is a period when you can show, and then this is a period when you need to sort of back off a little bit from production. And that's true for our designers and our stage managers and our technicians as well. The same obligation for them, just to make sure that they have a little bit of space.
Yeah. The like I said, the people I talk to who are casting your students are invariably impressed with how prepared they are. And sometimes from the get-go, from the audition, I know that Face Off Theater cast a number of Western students this summer, and they nailed their auditions. They'd already memorized a lot of the parts, and they just come with such fervor for
they're passionate. They know that's what they want to do with their lives. They are committed to being theater professionals. They are not hobbyists. They come in, this is what they want to do, and they recognize how much commitment that takes given the competitive nature of the industry.
Anthony Hamilton, who you mentioned as the director of Into the Woods, he's someone who started in a town and then eventually made that journey to New York. And so bringing back artists like that brings home to the students. Oh, I mean, they can ask direct questions of someone like that. Exactly, you know, what was it like? How did you manage?
They can. And what we have a lot of engagement with our alumni. They are the direct evidence that you can do it, right? Anthony from Kalamazoo went to Western, went on to get his graduate degree, moved first, I think, to Chicago, has been worked as an actor, is transitioning his career as well into including directing. And they have great real-life stories about what it takes and what's hard and how you manage and how many times you can reheat fried rice if you don't have any money. And, you know, all of those really key important tips for make – and how – and I think for our alumni now, how you sustain yourself in challenging times when the work that you traditionally do is not available or you need to reinvent how you do it. Live auditions are going to pretty much go away, certainly in the first couple of rounds. You know, all auditions now are self-taping. Casting directors figured out they don't have to have all those people walking in and out of their office. They couldn't do it in COVID, and they're not going to do it when COVID goes away. So the industry has changed quite a bit, and we won't, at the end of COVID, go back to what we did before. So that's another really important recognition for our young artists is how the industry is changing and what different skills they may need to master to be ready for that transition.
Joan, I know you're already looking at next season, but are you looking forward to seeing this one play out?
I am. I have been in the last week in the rehearsals both for Liss and Into the Woods. I've been rehearsal four nights this week with those shows, with their directors, and it makes my heart swell. It is so joyous, the students and the faculty and staff, to be able to be making theater when there was a time we didn't know if we were going to be able to do that, what it was going to look like, and to be able to invite people to come and share that, not only with us, but to be in community with each other, which we think is more crucial perhaps now than it has ever been. So we are grateful to be able to do that.
It has been wonderful to talk to you again, and I know that we will get together to talk theater.
And I will see you in the pit for Into the Woods.
Yes, you will. I'm not sure I have a costume for that, but maybe I'll just wear black.
Black is always good for the pit.
That works. That works for the pit. Anyway, Joan, I really like getting your behind-the-scenes viewpoint on the season and how you're bringing so many people together and so many ideas and listening so hard. To see where wish you all the best of luck with this
season.
Thank
you for having me, and I look forward to seeing all of our friends in the theater.
The shows are all listed at WMUtheater.com, or you can talk to someone at the ticket office. That's 269-387-6222. It opens with Liss, a newly commissioned play never seen anywhere before, brand new, very exciting, and it's set in 2030. I wanted to play what I think of as a somewhat futuristic recording from Jordan Hamilton, local electro cellist and composer. This is called Circuits, and it has that sort of futuristic sound that he came up with all by himself.